This is Pastor Mike Parks welcoming you to Church 180's weekly radio broadcast, Turn Your Life Around. It is our prayer that through the word we are about to share, that you would be encouraged, enlightened, and empowered to get your life on track through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's get right into the message this week. I hope it's a blessing.
Turn in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 7. And this is a scripture that I've shared about every time we talk about this, but this scripture grabbed a hold of me a few weeks ago, and I began to think about Judgment Day. I began to think about standing before God, and I began to think about how that if I, when I read you this scripture, it's going to make sense, but I thought to myself, I cannot be the guy who doesn't tell you the truth. I cannot let you stand before God and have God say, depart from me, I never knew you, and then you to look over at me and say, why didn't you tell me? God really put that on my heart. So we're focusing on studying God and knowing God, not to know about God, but to know him. And so we're going to start at verse 21. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and in your name cast out devils and in your name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me. And so I want you to understand these people that it's talking about here who said, haven't we prophesied in your name? And haven't we done this in your name? And, you know, haven't we done blessings in a backpack? And haven't we done celebrate recovery? And haven't we done all these wonderful things in your name? Haven't we, you know, haven't we went and helped Interfaith House and fed people? And we did Christmas presents for the kids this year. And we've done all these wonderful things in your name. But he says, depart from me. I never knew you. See, it's going to heaven is not about what you know. It's about who you know. It's about whether or not you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's what it is about. And so when you stand before God and they read all the things that you're guilty of, and there's going to be lots of things that we're going to be found guilty of, and they're going to say, what's your plea? The only thing you're going to be able to say is whether if you know Jesus, you're going to say, I plead the blood of Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you're going to pull out this stuff. But I went to church every Sunday. But I did this. But I did that. And he's going to look at his son Jesus. And he's going to say, is their name in the book? See, Jesus has a little black book. Some of y'all will get that in a minute. The rest of you will catch up. Anybody in here ever have a little black book? Yeah, don't raise your hand if you're married. I didn't have a little black book. My book was big. It was like, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. I'm just kidding. No, you know, in that little black book's where you keep the names of all your relationships, your contacts. I know nowadays we call those smartphones, don't we? Yeah, but back in the old days, you guys know about, Jesus has a little black book. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And your name better be in it. You better be one of his relationships. Do you understand if you're going to make it to heaven? So this started us down this path that I wanted to spend this year to know God, not to know about him, not to just become a bunch of educated people who are good for nothing, but people who find out about God. I know, see, the educator smiled when I said that. But to know about him, but to know him. You know, I've read lots of great things about Abraham Lincoln, but I don't know him. Abraham Lincoln don't ever talk to me. Abraham Lincoln did. I don't have any of the books that he's written. I don't know where I came from. That's Blue Creek coming back out in me. That he righted. Anyway. But I have a book that God wrote, and he speaks to me every day. And I have a relationship, do you understand? I know God because he left me some instructions. I know God because when I pray, he answers. Now, he don't always answer the way I like. You know, just like she don't answer always the way I like. You know what's funny is God answers more the way I like than she does. That's just the way it is. That's okay. That's all right. So Matthew chapter 7 tells us and warns us that we need to know God. And then last week we found out, the first week, was that God is a spirit. and what that meant to us. It meant that God is eternal, that God never ends, that God will always be there, that God can't die. It means if God is a spirit, that he has no physical limitations. God is not bound by physical limitations. And then the last thing we found out, by God being a spirit, he is the breath of life. He is the life force of our faith. This week, we're going to start in 1 John chapter 4 and find out a different aspect of God. And we're going to go in a little different direction, I think, than some of you might, those of you who've been going to church in a while, may think. But in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God." And look at these words, "and knows God. And he that loves not knows not God, for God is love." Now, what is our goal? Our goal is to know God. And it says, he that is born of God, it says that he loves and knows God. Because listen, if you are born of God, how do we know we've passed from death into life? The Bible says because we love the brethren, right? How do we know we passed from death into life? Is that if you're going to know God, you must love because God is love. If you're going to understand anything about God, you got to understand God is love. And see, when you come up, there was these famous bracelets that came out years ago. WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, let me tell you the answer. This is what it really should have said. Because if you know anything about God and you know God is love, they should have said, what would love do? What would love do? Because Jesus is God. God is love. What would love do? See, because, and then we all have a different definition of love. If I was to ask you, we got a lot of people here this morning. Praise God. A lot of visitors and a lot of regulars too. Thank God. But if we was to ask you this morning, what's love? And I was to ask each one of you to give a definition, and I wouldn't let you all hear each other's definition, because if I let you all hear each other, eventually you'd be like, yeah, what she said. No, but if I was to ask you all individually where you couldn't hear, almost every one of you would have a different definition of what love is. That's because we're not perfect. That's because we're not complete. We're never going to be complete without Jesus. There's just no way. God created us with a void in our life, and the only thing that fills that void is God. He created us that way on purpose. And so that we would seek him, so we would come and seek him and have a relationship with him. But God is love. And so to understand who God is, you need to know what love is. Now, I know many of you Bible scholars are thinking, okay, here we go, 1 Corinthians 13. No, that's later. I want to teach you what Jesus taught about love. So let's turn to St. John chapter 15. St. John chapter 15. And in St. John chapter 15, starting around verse 9, it says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment," verse 12, "that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, then he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Hereafter I call you not servants. The servant does not know what his Lord does. But I have called you friends. For all things I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever... you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another." Jesus taught us that there are three main things about love. In verse 13, he says, "Greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends." The number one thing about true love that you need to know is love is sacrificial. Love sacrifices. That means it gives up something because of the one you love. Now, you know what's funny is we understand sacrificial. If you've had the pleasure of being married and you had true love with that person, you know what I'm talking about when I say sacrifice. If you have children, and you're any kind of a parent whatsoever, you know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about sacrifice. You know what? You guys know what I'm saying. We understand sacrifice. We understand that love is sacrifice when we look at those things. But then How come when we look at God, we don't understand that love is sacrifice? Because that's what he did for us, but why don't we ever sacrifice for him? See, my wife, I sacrifice for my wife all the time, and she does for me. And it's not something I do because if I don't do it, she's going to be mad at me. And that's the motivation for some people. Right? I do it because I love her and I want to make her happy. And so I don't mind giving up the TV remote. I don't mind. She'd come in last night, wanted to watch a movie, right in the middle of football. I'm like, all right, here you go. Go ahead. Now, that's just some silly example, but it makes sense. You guys get what I'm talking about? Love is sacrificial. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him. God sacrificed his son for us. God allowed his son to be beaten. God allowed his son to be mocked. God allowed his son to be made a crown of thorns and whipped with a scourge and nailed to a cross. Now, if that's not sacrifice, what is? I've said it 100 times. If a bad person came in this room and says, one of you have to die to save everybody else, I could do that. I could give up my life to save you. I could do that. And there's other people in this room that would do that. There's other people in this room that says, you know, I'll do it. I know there is. There are people in this room that says, I can do that. But if a bad person came in this room and says, Pastor Mike, to save everybody in this room, you got to give me one of your sons, and I'm going to kill them so everybody else can live. I'm sorry. I hope you're ready to meet God. Now, anybody who's a parent knows what I'm talking about. That would be so difficult for us to do. But that's exactly what God did for you. That's exactly what God did for you. That's exactly what he gave us. That's exactly what he done. And it wasn't just for the people in this room. It was for the entire world. Love is sacrificial. But see, it should also be reciprocated. In other words, we should be giving that back to God. We should sacrifice for God. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Why is it reasonable? Because Jesus died for you. It should be reasonable that you die for him. You know, and the great thing about living in the United States, rarely does it cost us our physical lives to serve God. Now, it costs us some emotional stuff. It costs us some relationships. It costs us some things like that. But rarely does it ever cost us our lives. But all across the country this morning, all across the world, excuse me, this morning, there are people dying for Jesus. There are people giving up their lives for Jesus. There are people who are sacrificing. And my question is, see, we have it so soft here. We have it so easy here. I wonder just if any of us had to really sacrifice, how many of us would choose God? How many of us would give him everything? So the number one thing about love you have to understand in knowing God, because God is love, is God is sacrificial. Love is sacrificial, and we should reciprocate that sacrifice back to God. The Bible talks about giving our sacrifice of praise. Listen, you come in here, and I know you look at some of the people in here, they've got their hands raised, they're shouting hallelujah. I know some people come in here, and they look at that, and they think, man, that's weird. No, people are just giving. That's how everyone should be. Everyone should offer up a sacrifice of praise. Everyone should offer. You say, yeah, but it looks silly. So what? That's the sacrifice part. I ain't going to look silly in front of a bunch of people raising my hands. Why not? Jesus raised his hands for you. Amen. And this next, very next verse, in verse 14, we find out in verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. So the number second thing about love is love trust. See, I know. If you're in an army, you're going to do what you're commanded to do, or you're going to the brig. But in life, there are times Talitha asked me to do stuff for her all the time. Matter of fact, this morning, she goes, I really need coffee creamer. I really need coffee creamer. Okay? And I was, okay, all right. So I went to the store, and I got her coffee creamer. Now, what if I, you know, I didn't go in the kitchen and open up the fridge to see if there was any coffee creamer. Because I trust her enough that if she says she needs coffee creamer, she needs it. Isn't it funny how we'll trust one another to do things like that? But when God tells us to do something, God, give me a fleece. God, give me a sign. God, I just want to make sure it's you. Oh, God, do this. Oh, God, do that. God, I just want to be sure it's you. When Talitha said to me this morning, I need coffee creamer, I didn't have to ask, honey, is that you? I didn't have to ask. I just don't know. I'm hearing voices. Honey, I'm hearing voices. You need to pray for me. I'm hearing voices. I need to know if that was you or if that was some other voice. No, I know her voice. I know what she sounds like. And I know what she's like when she doesn't have coffee. So I go and get the creamer. Amen. Glory to God. When she don't have her coffee, her voice gets really deep. She's like, get out of here. Like, she's like, the whole room gets dark and it's just, I'm just kidding. Well, at least about the room getting dark. Anyway. But no, I didn't have to ask, honey, was that you? Well, you know, Austin's got this thing. Austin loves to hunt. If you don't know Austin, I mean, he hunting's like his thing. And, you know, he got that big deer. And now he's like, you know, he's hooked and all that stuff. And understandably. And he was telling me all about this new broadhead. And how this broadhead is, does this. It does some kind of cut, special cut thing. And it makes sure that the deer drops and all this stuff. And he goes, Dad, I really need this broadhead. I didn't have to go. Was that Austin? I didn't have to go. Well, I wonder, was that Connor or Nathan? I wonder. No, because I know my son. And not only did it sound like his voice, it sounded like something he would want. Just like her wanting coffee creamer. That's because I know her. I know she wants coffee. She won't drink coffee without it. And if you've ever drank her coffee, it's like this much creamer and that much coffee. It's like equal parts. You know, she has it a special way or she won't drink it. And I'm sure the other you are like that. But because I know her, I don't have to doubt. I don't have to go check. Because I know I can trust her. She don't ever send me on errands that are going to hurt me. Or she don't ever send me on things that are going to. Why? Because I know she loves me. So I know I can trust her. How many of us, when God speaks to us and tells us to do something, God gives you an idea for a new business. God gives you an idea to go bless somebody. God tells you to go give, go help this person. God speaks to you and asks you to do this. God tells you to go over and just say, I'll tell somebody you love them and you're praying for them. How many of us were like, oh God, give me a sign. I want to make sure that's your voice. No, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd and the sheep know my voice. You should know, number one, first off, does that sound like something God would tell you? Go visit somebody? Start up a new business? Yeah, those are things God would tell you. God would lead you to do those things. God would show you what the Bible says. If you acknowledge him in all your ways, he'll direct your path. So yeah, that sounds like something God would do. So not only does it sound like his character, it sounded like his voice. Why would you not trust? Why would you not listen? But we all do that. I need a fleece. Those of you who are not really new, who are kind of new to church, have no idea what I'm talking about. There's this guy named Gideon. And God come and spoke to him, and he wanted to make sure it was God, so he takes a fleece out. It was Gideon, wasn't it? Yeah, okay. Everybody's looking at me funny. I'm like, well, did I mess it up? No, it's Gideon. All right, he takes out this fleece, and he says, God, if it's you, I want you to make the fleece wet and the ground dry. So he gets up the next morning. God did do that, okay? And then then the crazy guy, that wasn't enough. He's like, okay, I just really want to make sure this is you, God, so I'm going to put it out this time. This time I want you to make the ground wet and the fleece dry. And God did it. But do you know why? See, that's Old Testament. The reason God did that is back then there was no, God wasn't living inside of people. So it was okay for Gideon to do that because he really didn't know God. the only people who knew God was like the high priest. The only one who ever got to go into the Ark of the Covenant, into the presence of God, was the high priest. So it was okay for Gideon to do that. But we have God living inside of us. The Bible says if we've accepted Christ, that the old man dies and we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. And we should know. We shouldn't question God. We should trust God because God is love. God would never do anything to hurt you. So love is sacrifice. God is sacrifice. God is trusting. See, God trusts you guys. Listen, do you not understand how much God trusts us? Jesus himself is not down here right now preaching this message. He's put this into my heart. He's trusting me to tell you what he's saying. He's trusting me to explain the truth to you. Do you realize how much trust God's put in my hands? And I should trust him the same way he trusts me. Because that's what love is. Because just like she asked me to go get her coffee creamer, there are times I'll look at her and I'll be like, hey, I'd like some tea. I don't drink coffee very much. I like tea. And she'll go make it just like I like it. See, we do that for one another. We trust one another. See what I'm saying? So love is sacrificial love. Love is trusting. The third thing you find out is in the very next verse. Jesus taught about love. In verse 15, he says, henceforth, I call you not servants, and the servant knows not what his Lord does, but I've called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. The number three thing about love that you really got to know if you want to understand love is sharing. If you love somebody, you share with them. It's amazing when something goes wrong, how we'll call a buddy or a friend and we'll tell them all about how bad it is. But we'll never go to God and share our burdens with him. All we want to talk about with our friends and our neighbors is, oh, this is bad and all that. Oh, and could you believe it? And that Pastor Mike didn't even iron his shirt this morning. Can you believe that? He was talking about coffee creamer. If that's all you got out of this message is coffee creamer, I'm not a very good preacher. But love shares. Love shares. You go to God and you share your burdens with him and you tell him about how you feel and you tell him what's going on in your life. And you really shouldn't tell that to other people. The Bible doesn't say go to other people and drop all your problems on them. No, it says cast your care on the Lord. Because he cares for you. What you should be casting on other people is love and joy and peace. Amen? Don't be burdening people down with your problems. Everybody, listen, everybody has problems. Everybody's going through stuff. Everybody in this room right now is facing stuff. Every one of us. And some of us are facing stuff that's worse than others. But there'll come a time in the future that what they're facing is going to be less than what you're facing. We all, listen, it rains on the just and the unjust alike. We all have problems. We don't need to be going to each other and tearing people down and telling them about how this person did this and this person did that. That's called gossip. No, all that stuff's supposed to be shared with the Lord. In your closet, in your prayer closet, in your private time with him, in your alone time with him. Because love is sacrificial. Love is trusting, but love shares. And see, God shared with us. Do you not understand? Look at this. I mean, this book, this thing right here, it's a collection of books. It's 66 books put together in a collection. And the amazing thing is about the Bible, you know, people talk about, man, can't believe you believe the Bible was written by a bunch of men. Actually, that's the cool part of the Bible because God took, listen, there are about 43 people who wrote these books over 1,500 years apart. They over a time period of 1,500 years, and they all tell the same story. Now, explain to me how 43 different people over 1,500 years could come through and write one book that tells the exact same story from beginning to end about God's love. Well, without God, I mean, that's not possible. But with God, all things are possible. But God gave us this book, and in this book, he shares his heart. In this book, he shares his thoughts. In this book, he shares his will. In this book, he shares his ways. In this book, he shares everything. It's like, listen, I'd have gave my right arm if she would have came with an instruction book. Can I get an amen? I'd been like troubleshooting. Where's that at? You know, you get those car books. You don't ever read them when you get a new car, but you see something goes wrong. You're like troubleshooting. Where's that at? That's what I'd been. But isn't it funny? She's the love of my life here on this planet, but she didn't come with an instruction manual. Man, I'd have gave anything to have an instruction manual that told me all these things she liked and didn't like and all these, you know what I mean? That would have been cool. That'd have been like, thank you, God. That would have saved me a lot of trouble. Amen. But that's exactly what God did in this book. He gave you an instruction book on how to love him. He gave you an instruction book on your relationship with him. He gave you an instruction book on how to live life. He gave you an instruction book on how to make decisions. He gave you an instruction book on how to everything that you should do and how you should act and how you should be. And if you do these things, you're going to be blessed. And everything you put your hand to is going to be blessed. And you're going to have a life of prosperity. And you're going to have a life of success if you just do what the instruction book says. God shared. Do you not understand? Because he loves. But so many of us don't want to share with God. So many of us want to carry our own burdens. So many of us want to work it out ourselves. Do you not realize you're probably the reason you got into the mess to start with? Why would you want to fix it? I mean, seriously. But that's what we do. We think, oh, we're tough enough. We're strong enough. I can do this on my own. No, on your own's how you got there. Man, go to the one who created this thing. Go to the one who knows everything inside and out. Go to the one who can do all things. And find out what he would do. That's sharing. Then in that same instruction book in 1 Corinthians 13, he tells us some other things that help us get to know God better. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 4. If you have a King James Version, it says charity. But what is charity if it's not compassionate love, right? Charity is compassionate love. So it says in verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunts itself not. Love is not puffed up. It's not about self. Love does not behave itself unseemingly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now you could just as easily say, God suffers long. It means he's patient. God is kind. God does not envy. God does not vaunt himself, and he's not puffed up. God does not behave himself unseemly. Nor does he seek his own. He's not easily provoked. Thank God, because we all provoke him all the time. God does not think evil. I want you to understand this. God never thinks evil of you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how bad you've messed up. But Pastor Mike, you don't understand what I've done. Doesn't matter what you've done. God doesn't think evil thoughts. If you just stop what you're doing, this is what repentance is. Repentance is stopping what you're doing, turning around and heading back the opposite direction toward God. That's what repentance is. And if you would just make that choice to stop, God doesn't think he bad of you. Isn't it funny? We think bad of one another when we make mistakes, but God don't ever think bad of us. God does not rejoice in iniquity. He hates sin. He rejoices in the truth. He bears all things. He believes all things and hopes all things. He endures all things. God never fails.
I pray this week's message has touched your heart. If you have need of prayer or would like more information, you can call Church 180 at 937-386-0333. Visit our website at www.church180.org or check out our Facebook page. Our church is non-denominational with a welcoming environment. Blue jeans are welcome and so are you. Church 180 is located at 2556 Moores Road in Seaman, Ohio, right across from North Adams High School. We would love to have you come be part of our family. The services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. This is Pastor Mike Parks praying you have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Sunday right here on C103.